Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, August 10th, 2022. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 20, the fifth paragraph down, which begins, "Moderate drinkers have little trouble." Today's readers are Brandy M. reading the 12 Steps, Marie M. B. reading the 12 Traditions. Reading the text are Wei W., Bonnie B., and Barbara W. Our newcomer greeter is Tamara C., and making announcements is Robin P. The share ID numbers for the last two meetings, Tuesday, August 9th, 10 a.m., the code is 19,273 or 19273. And the number for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting is 19,277 or 19277. Okay, OA's preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Brandy M. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Brandy.
Good morning. It's Brandy M., recovered in Alberta, Canada. Recovering. One, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all the defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks, Kathy, for letting me do service.
Thank you, Brandy M. And Marie M.B., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Good morning. Hello, everyone. Marie M.B. from Texas, recovering compulsive overeater. 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself, and our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive overeating. 4, groups should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never to endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, prestige, and property divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Alcoholics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional. Our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Welcome, newcomers. With that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Marie M.B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study on page 20 of the Big Book, the 5th paragraph down, and I will ask Huey W. to get us started. Good morning, Huey.
Good morning, Kathy. Moderate drinkers have little trouble in giving up liquor entirely if they have good reason for it. They can take it or leave it alone. Then we have a certain type of heart drinker. He may have the habit badly enough to gradually impair him physically and mentally. It may cause him to die a few years before his time. If a sufficiently strong reason, ill health, falling in love, change of environment, or the warning of a doctor becomes operative, this man can also stop or moderate, although he may find it difficult and troublesome and may even need medical attention. So this is Huey W. from Connecticut. And I was a normal eater growing up. Then I became an emotional eater when I went away for college. And I stayed as an emotional eater for many years. And I was like when life went well or when the weather was nice and I can handle my food. But in the winter or when life happened, and I would go to food. So until that, so I was an emotional eater for many years until one day I crossed that invisible line and then became a compulsive overeater. And I learned in the rooms, like a once a pickle, always a pickle. And I used to have like a, so much resentment at towards OA, because I just hope that I can unlearn the things I learned about this disease in the rooms, and I can stay as a moderate eater for a little more time. So now, and do I still wish to go back to become a moderate eater? Not really. And I think it's just so much easier to stay abstinent than playing with this idea and going in and out of food. So I know I have this disease and it's going to be with me forever, but I know today I can live with this disease by practicing this 12-step way of life. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wei W., for getting us started. Okay, I'd like to invite those who would like to share on what Wei just read. And please remember, we ask you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you haven't shared on Monday or Tuesday this week, please let me know that you would like to share. Who would like to share?
Oops, Melanie C. from Oregon.
Okay, Melanie.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Eileen T.
Eileen T.
Bruce E.
Okay, Bruce E. I think I heard Debbie. Is that right?
Yes.
Debbie, what's your last initial?
It's actually Deb and then initial E.
Oh,
it sounds
okay.
Like Debbie.
Right. Sorry. Deb E.
Sally A.
Sally A. Great.
Robin D.
Robin P. And who was after Robin?
Wendy B. from California.
Wendy B. Wonderful.
No,
B as
in
sister.
Okay.
Sorry.
Got it, Wendy. Wendy V. Okay. Was that Tracy? Who was the last person? Okay, I didn't catch the name.
Sherry P. from Michigan. Sherry P. from Michigan.
Oh, Sherry P. from Michigan. Okay. All right, we'll stop there. What a great lineup. So we have Melanie C., Donna B., Eileen T., Bruce E., Deb E., Sally A., Robin P., Wendy V., and Sherry P. Melanie, please get us started.
Okay, thank you so much, Kathy. And good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Kandy, Oregon. And, you know, I can almost still pinch myself that I'm here and grateful, you know, because at 17 years ago, I didn't think that this was going to be possible for me. And these are the very specific paragraphs that helped me get through. I contemplated them a lot because I wanted to be the moderate eater for sure. And that wasn't possible. And I found myself hovering around that hard eater part, thinking about it and considering it. And the thing that broke the difference for me was when I would sit down and know that I'd gone through several examples like this particular person had when they were able to stop entirely and couldn't stop. I'd find myself going back. The loudest, of course, were the many food diets that I tried to treat. And it's silly, but I didn't have any other option. You know, I didn't know about recovery at that particular point. But when I would stop, you know, and I didn't know, I didn't have any like medical reasons, but I had things that were important. I was so ashamed and so humiliated by being so obese that I didn't even leave my house anymore, that the world had gotten so small because I wasn't going to go out and face whatever my body was feeling when I was so humiliated by being such an obese, grotesque, non-bathing individual. I just wasn't going out anymore. And you would think that that would be enough reason, you know, to do something different as my life was being swallowed up by agoraphobia and I didn't, and I couldn't. And so then I knew that I was no longer then in that category of the hard eater, for sure, that I had crossed over the line into addiction. When I was 16 years old, and I can't explain what it was, I had come home from high school, and every day I came home from high school, I needed to eat something, and it was a mindless thing. I was in my body was shaken, and I was ready to get into the house, and I just had to eat something, and then plop down in front of the refrigerator, and I said, you know, not this time. Not this time. I'd been on a diet, and I'd lost some weight, and I was feeling pretty good, and I was kind of catching the eye of the quarterback for the football team. And I thought, you know, this is life. This is the way it's going to be. And back and forth into that kitchen I would go, and I couldn't make it. I couldn't make it. I had to pick up. But the voice came to me and said, if you don't get a handle on this now, you will be in trouble for the rest of your life, and you may never get this thing. 16 years old, this voice on the side of my face I could hear. I think probably soon around then, if not before, I crossed over that line, and that message came to me in that particular form. It wasn't until many, 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 many years when I was 50 that I got the solution that it was brought to now, but that wasn't my time, and that was Powers. So with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Melanie C. Donna B., please share with us.
Good morning, everybody. This is Donna B., spelled D-A-N-A, a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic calling from Denver, Colorado. Thank you, everyone, for all the service that you do. One of the many things that I appreciate about Bill W. and about the language in the Big Book is that Bill goes to great lengths numerous times in the book to offer us distinctions, classes, types of people. It's an opportunity to identify in with where I belong. And as I read these paragraphs, I have the opportunity to reflect. Is it possible that I'm a moderate eater? Is it possible that I'm a hard eater? And ultimately, in the next paragraph, it will ask, is it possible that I am the real compulsive overeater? And why does Bill go to such great lengths to distinguish people, to classify people, to separate people? I believe, and this is my opinion, is that I have to believe that I really, really, really have this thing in order to be entirely willing to do all the things that the Big Book subsequently asks me to do. These are big asks. It's simple, but not easy. And there are definitely many opportunities in the process at the beginning and in living in recovery where I can consider balking at what's being asked of me. But because I have such a deep understanding of what I am and what the costs associated are with what I am, I'm willing to grab on to the solution that's being offered to me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Donna B. Eileen T., please share with us.
Hi, it's Eileen P. from Minnesota. That's okay. It's P., but that's all right.
Oh, okay. I got it.
No, it's okay.
go ahead, Eileen.
And I'm actually in a different state right now. I'm calling from, I'm on a week vacation with my family at a very remote location, and I just want to say how grateful I am that these are phone meetings, because there is no Zoom meeting on the planet that could get through the internet to where we are. It's so remote, and I appreciate the silence, but I could barely make calls, so I'm like so grateful that it's working right now and I can be on this meeting. But I don't have anything brilliant to say about the Big Book, but I did want to mention you know, I have been in for 20 years, and I've never thought that I could return to moderate eating because it's that bad that that wasn't my struggle. But you know what was difficult for me, and I was just talking to a new person the other day, and I kind of forget what it's like. It's kind of scary for new folks, or at least it was scary for me, to think about calling people and doing all the things and actually becoming part of a fellowship. It's kind of scary. You know, maybe they've been hurt or whatever. But I do want to say this. This is a couple of years ago. My current sponsor had called me, and I had asked that person to be my sponsor. And they said, well, you know, you got to call people every day, and here's what you need to do, and just think about it. And I'm like, no. You know, I'm too busy. I'm so busy. I have all these kids and blah, blah, blah. And I still have kids. And then 2 months later, I was so desperate. I called them back and I said, I will do anything. I will do anything to recover. Please help me. And they did. And I do my work. I realize that it is not just the tools. I call people every day. I send in my food. I call 4 people a day. I call my sponsor every day. And I've been lately going to a meeting every day because I'm only a couple months clean here, maybe 3 months from the last thing that happened. And I think my last sugar binge was probably December. So I'm not that far in here, guys. You know, I need to be really careful. And I don't have rules about what other people do, but I do what my sponsor asks me to do because I want recovery. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Eileen P. Bruce E., please share with us.
Yeah, thank you, Bruce E. And I'm a recovered food addict. I'm down in Southwest Florida, Fort Myers, Florida area, and grateful to be recovered today. I love the reading. Moderate drinkers have a little trouble in giving up, and then it goes on to talk about the hard drinker. So for years, I'm judging everybody that overeats or anyone that's really overweight. I'm judging them, and I'm saying they're a food addict. You know, I'm a food addict. I know I'm a food addict. And I'm thinking everybody else is because I see them, you know, eating great amounts and maybe gain a lot of weight, maybe not. I'm thinking everybody's a food addict. You know, all these people I meet are all food addicts. Excuse me. But came to, that was a misunderstanding. Because after reading this one some time back, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, reading these couple of paragraphs here, I found out that many of those people that were overeating were only moderate eaters. And quite a few of them were only hard eaters. So I'm going to all these men's retreats from my church, right, where they have these big buffets and you can eat anything you want. And I'm overeating, I'm white knuckling it, trying not to eat anymore, trying not to take the third plate, taking 1 and 2 and say I'll take 2 plates and not 3, that kind of stuff. And I'm seeing these guys take 2, 3, 4 plates and all these plates of dessert. And I'm thinking they're all food addicts. All these guys are food addicts. And some of them were big, some of them weren't. But they come to find out they were not, because I'd see them later, you know, I'd go on eating, and they wouldn't eat anymore, you know. They wouldn't, you know, I'd see them a week, 2 later, and they, you know, weren't eating like that anymore. And they just were at that particular time. So they were moderate eaters and they were hard eaters. And they weren't like me. I'm a food addict. You know, once I start, I can't stop. Especially when I'm into the alcoholic foods. Because I eat those things and, man, it's all over with, you know, for me. So I have to go completely without any of the alcoholic foods. And then I get along pretty good. And, you know, I don't know, you know, I don't know if I ever be a moderate eater. It doesn't matter too much, you know. It just matters that I stay on the food plan, don't eat the alcoholic foods, keep working the steps, have a sponsor, and, you know, keep going to meetings, keep reading the stuff. And then things work out pretty good. So I'm pretty much at peace today. You know, I don't have total peace. Stuff comes up all the time. But I'm not going back. I'm not eating over things. You know, something comes up, doesn't go my way. You know, I can admit where I'm wrong, look at where I'm wrong. I can call a fellow, do a 10-step, and get it out of the way and get on with my life and don't have to eat over it. Don't have to go back to food, use food as a crutch to get through life. I don't have to do that anymore. It's pretty nice. It's a lot less anxiety and stress today than it used to be. So, yeah, and I was told in the beginning, yeah, make phone calls, you know, make phone calls, you know, make phone. I don't know who said that. People keep saying that. That's good. And I thought, no, I'm too important to make phone calls. Me, as important as I am, maybe one, that's about it. You know, miss a guy,
that's
called
time.
You know, thank you. But now I look forward to making phone calls every day. So I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce E. Deb E., please share with us.
Thank you. Hi, it's Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I was just thinking about how angry I was in the beginning that I couldn't be a moderate eater. You know, and this is still years before OA, where I realized something was wrong. Something was really off with the way I was eating, the way I viewed food. And then when I started in OA and I realized like I couldn't eat certain things, I was really mad about it. I was angry. I felt like I had been really cheated. Like, why? I was so completely engulfed in self-pity. Like, why can't I eat this stuff too? Why can't, you know? And it's funny thinking about it now. I think like I'd so much rather have the gifts I've gotten from this program than the food. Like, the food has no interest to me. Like, I'd much rather have the connection to my higher power, the spiritual way of living. That's so much more fulfilling. And it just makes me think about how like deep in the addiction I was back then, where like it was all about the food. It was all about like the importance of the food, because I had no idea what was underneath it. And then sometimes, you know, I get, I guess because it's been a long time that I, you know, the food doesn't call to me and I feel neutral around it, my brain can start to fool me into thinking I'm a moderate eater, but I'm never going to become a moderate eater. The only reason I feel like that sometimes is because I'm not eating my trigger foods. I'm not eating my binge foods. And so the allergy of the body is not getting triggered. So I can feel that neutrality. But I am under no illusion that if I did pick up one of those foods, God forbid, that I would go right back to that place. So it's just really this, like, you know, gift I get contingent on whether I keep going with this program, that I keep working the steps every day and keep that connection going. And I no longer feel like I, you know, I see sometimes my kids are like, oh, we feel so bad that you can't eat this with us. And I'm like, don't feel bad. I had enough for a lifetime back when I was eating it. I don't feel bad. You don't have to feel bad. I don't miss it. Like, I don't even want it, you know? And that to me is a huge miracle. I didn't believe people in the beginning when they said things like that. I thought they were lying. And then I saw for myself that they weren't lying. It was the truth. And it's just one of the miracles we see from this program. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Deb E., for sharing with us. Sally A., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Sally A. in New York. And this page is another great page among many in the AA Big Book. From the middle of the page where it said it it is the purpose of this book to answer such questions specifically. So it is the purpose of this book to explain what is going on. And then the whole next paragraph is about these why can't he, why don't you, all these why questions that in the psych world we're taught never ask the question why, because it's filled with shame. And to be honest with you, it's about me saying that to myself. What is wrong with you? Why can't you? Why don't you? And then we finally come down to the next paragraph, which packs these words, back of them is a world of ignorance and misunderstanding. And I myself have fought so hard to find an easier and softer way. I have really just after years and years of abstinence and not abstinence and being in the program and reading this book and knowing this book and not knowing this book, have looked for an easier, softer way and have truly tried to find a more intellectual solution to this problem. Just not willing to accept the truth that this is who I am. I've never been a moderate eater, never in my life. I can trace my binge eating all the way back to a child. And, you know, I've memorized and meditated on the words of one of our fellows that food is not the problem. Food is the solution. That in truth, it's all about this buildup of human emotions. And I have tried to hold my breath because that's what it feels like when I'm not in the food. Like I'm holding my breath without the food until I have just tumbled like down a cliff right back into the binge. And the seeking of this feeling of ease and comfort that comes from the binge. And in reading these words, I'm very, very cautious to not let myself enter this intellectual world, but to just embrace the message of this big book that I know is here from God to me. The message that this isn't going to work, Sally. I literally spent a year, the last year, doing all the work, all the medical work to have the surgery, the bypass surgery, believing that these people are, they're going to reset my stomach, they're going to make me think differently, that I'm not going to feel like having sugar. In fact, it'll make me sick if I have sugar. But after doing all these studies, I came up with the same conclusion as others. If this was true, wouldn't there be a line around 10 blocks to have the surgery? It's just not true. None of these medical solutions are the way. It is right here in front of our eyes. It is this book. It is this solution to put the addictive source down. And that's where I'm at today. One day at a time, willing to work these steps, knowing that if I don't do these steps 4 through 12, if I don't especially do the 10th steps and bare my soul to other people and stay clean. Thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Sally A. Robin P., please share with us.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Kathy, for your service and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I am Robin P., and I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and I am currently in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, normally in Costa Rica. You know, wow, I started off, I think, as a moderate compulsive overeater as a kid. I used food as my denial mechanism, you know, with all the child abuse that was going on. If that's okay, as long as I get to have this. Oh, I get to go have this treat, so it will numb me enough to get through the, you know, like, things must be okay if I can just have this. And that, it just kept growing and growing and growing as I grew as a kid to the end. I'm recovered from compulsive overeater, from bulimia and anorexia. And to me, it was my experience was it was all the same. And by the end, you know, it was Russian roulette. I never knew when I would just start binging and vomiting or starving, or, you know, I was down to 80 pounds at one point, and I thought if I could just lose one more pound. And, you know, once I started binging and vomiting, it would last the entire day, and I would lose days. And I started off, you know, just like this one treat, and just spiraled. And I'm so grateful to be abstinent. I've been abstinent for over 6 years now, by God's grace and mercy, one day at a time. And my life has completely changed. And, you know, it's like you put down the food and you pick up life. And life on life's terms. And I'm so grateful for the steps and for everybody and for my God squad. And I just went through major surgery, and I'm 11 days out from that, and every day gets better. And I can feel, I literally experienced the power of recovery in this recovery from the surgery, of the power of, you know, the doctors and the nurses kept saying, oh my gosh, your body is doing so much better than other people we see. Yeah, it's the power of abstinence. I'm also an organic, gluten-free vegan. And I, you know, they were like, your food habits, I think, really helping you to be so healthy. And, you know, and I'm fit. And it's all a blessing of this program. You know, we're so active and we ground in nature. We do all these healthy habits that I learned in this program. And the power of prayer. I got to literally experience that power of my God squad in this program. From people on the, all, so many people in this program praying for me and loving on me. And I just, it was so much we. And, you know, I always, one of my favorite slogans is, you know, wellness begins with we and illness begins with I. And the more we I have in my life, the better I do. And thank you. I think that's my time. And I just thank you all so much. I'm sending you all the biggest hug. God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinent day. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Robin P. Wendy V, please share with us.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Wendy V from California. So I was going to read this real quick. Moderate drinkers have little trouble in giving up liquor entirely if they have good reason for it. They can take it or leave it alone. And can I take it or leave it alone? Do I have that choice? That's the question for me to look at. And if I have any lurking notions that I might be able to do that, then I need to address that. I just recently was in this chapter going through it again, and I had such a strong experience because I prayed. I go, God, please enable me to see the truth for an open mind and a new experience with my eating. And I really got like this whole brand new experience at a really deep level that I am a food addict, compulsive overeater, and there's absolutely nothing I could do. And I don't have the choice to take it or leave it alone. And therefore, if I'm in this program and I'm even trying to use the program as another form of control, I mean, I'd rather be in the program than out trying to control it. But literally, it goes to such a deep, deep level. It goes beyond anything that I could come up with to leave it alone. Like, there's nothing that I of myself can do to make that choice to take it or leave it alone. I will always take it again. The type of compulsive overeater that I am, and looking at my very own history and with God's help, I've been shown that no matter what, in program, out of program, no matter what new idea I come up with, what new book I read, what suggestion is given to me before a meeting, after a meeting, outside of a meeting, the kind of hopeless state of mind I have will always take me back to food. Always, always. I don't have that choice to grab it or not grab it. I will grab it no matter what. And there's nothing of myself that I could do about that. And that's where we're at in the book. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Wendy V. Sherry P., please share with us. Sherry, are you there? Okay, I'm not sure what happened to Sherry from Michigan, but I will take. We have time probably for two or three more shares. Would anyone else like to share today?
This is Jill in Virginia.
Jill, and the last initial, your first initial of your last name?
C.
C, okay. Who else would like to share?
Tamara C.
Tamara C. And did I hear someone else?
Penny C.
Christina
Penny
K.
Was that Gina K?
Christina K.
Oh, Christina J. Okay. Let's stop there.
K.
Hopefully we have enough time for all four of you. Maybe not. Jill, go ahead, please.
Yeah. So I'm Jill, compulsive overeater and food addict, and been abstinent for 14 years and very grateful for that. I was also I was a compulsive overeater in early childhood. And by the time I was 12, I knew I was not a moderate drinker. Like, moderate eater. I knew that I couldn't do it on my own. And I remember going to my mom and saying, Mom, I need help. And at that time, I thought help was a diet club, you know, because you see commercials. And we didn't have a lot of money, and she didn't want to pay for that. She said, Oh, Jill, you're fine. Just eat less and exercise more. And I was like, you don't understand, Mom. I can't. And so that was my first attempt at getting help at a diet club. And, of course, I don't know if you've had this experience, it's not the solution. I think I actually, too, kind of projected my own. I just assumed that everyone else wanted to eat as much as I did, only they had more willpower. Because when you're a kid, you're pretty self-centered. And I would be amazed by people who seemingly could sit at a plate of food and leave half of it sit there. It was like, amaze me. And I have to be careful now. I think I've been guilty and I've made amends. Thank you, God. To my children, because I feared so much that they were like me. Feared so much that they were like me. Now, last year, I had to see that I'd harmed them. I saw that I harmed them with that. And I've been miraculously lifted from controlling their food. Because not everybody is a food addict. Thank God. Plenty of people can have the foods that I can't eat, and they can have them comfortably. Plenty of people can overeat from time to time and be fine and enjoy those things. And I think I have to remember, I'm not the template upon which every human being is based. And I think that Bill's trying to make this point, too. I mean, there are people who they can drink. There are people who can eat and enjoy it and let it go. There are people who struggle, but if they're given a good enough reason, they can stop. And then there are people, no matter how great the reason, can't stop. And I knew very early on it was me. And I think this just points the fact that, you know, 12-step work, I'm the chair of the PIPO committee at my inner group, is extremely important to get the message out that there is a solution. Because there are people who do not know about Overeaters Anonymous. And that reach one every day is extremely important. So I'm really grateful that I found this program in my late 20s, thank God. I mean, some people don't find it till quite late. And I think there's a lot of opportunity to get to college campuses, to get to young people, to help people know. Like, listen, I was 100 pounds overweight for most of my life. I've kept 100 pounds off for 14 years. There's a solution, and I'm willing to show you. And I think that's a really important thing to talk about. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Jill C. I'm going to ask Tamara and Penny to each take 2 minutes, because I think that's all we're going to have time for. Go ahead, Tamara.
Good morning. This is Tamara C. I'm grateful to be recovered, and I am in Missouri. So the part about sufficiently strong reason, this is bringing up some sadness for me. I'm thinking of growing up with my mom who had this disease like me, compulsive overeating, and she her sufficiently strong reasons would be there's an event coming up, a family reunion or a wedding or one of us graduating, and she would go on a diet and lose weight for that. She wanted to look good for that. I remember one time she said, this time is going to work. This time I'm going to lose weight and keep it off because this time I'm doing it for God. And she meant it. But it didn't last. And I also have a memory of going to her closed bedroom door and hearing her crying in the bedroom and just feeling like this hopelessness that she wanted so badly to get this and she couldn't get it. And then I got my disease got going and I became a compulsive overeater, and I had sufficiently strong reasons too. Physical pain and health problems and my students. I wanted to be a good example for my students, and for neither my mom or myself did our sufficiently strong reasons enable us to stop or moderate. And my mom died from this disease, still obsessed with controlling her food and weight. And I continue to have good reasons for giving up my alcoholic foods and behaviors entirely. Today, I'm under no illusion that these reasons enable me to be in control. I am powerless, and my help must come from a power outside of me. I pass.
Thank you so much, Tamara C. And Penny C., you'll be our last share for 2 minutes.
Hi, thank you, Kathy K. So good to be here and so good to hear you. I'm going to pass and let these go.
Oh, wait a second. Sorry, that's me. 1 second. Go ahead, Penny.
Yeah, I'd like to pass and let the fourth person speak.
Oh, okay. Okay, Christina, are you there? Christina K or J, I'm not sure which.
Can you hear me? This is
yes.
Christina K.
Yeah.
Hi.
Go ahead, Christina.
Thank you. That was so kind of the last person. Thank you
yes.
very much. I'm Christina Kay. I am a recovered anorexic bulimic and compulsive eater. And I just want to say, listening to you all this morning, calling in again to the meetings, I just relocated back home to California from Texas. And this is just really helping me to feel connected and stable. And I remember when I listen to everybody, what it was like. And sometimes I forget that because I am into the character defect portion, which is a lot of fear. All of those same things that I experienced with the food, that happens with the feelings. And so that's what God is helping me to work on. And I get to have relief and freedom from these things contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. So grateful for the first 100 that opened up these doors nearly 100 years ago. And just so grateful for you all. And I will pass. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Christina Kay. And thank you to everyone. And thanks, Penny C., for giving up your time so we could hear from everyone else who wanted to speak. We are going to close now with the reading from the Big Book on page 164 and follow that with the Serenity Prayer. Would Bonnie B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you so much. Absolutely. This is Bonnie B., gratefully recovered, compulsive overeater, restrictor, binger, currently in Minnesota. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditations what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others.
This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.